you to turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. I'll read a portion of scripture that I'm going to speak from. I titled the message, "Carest Thou Not That We Perish?" Verse 35, "And the same day when the evening was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. When they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Too often, and I thought about this when I read this and I studied this, I thought, too often we question our Lord's care for us. We question His care for us because of the things that we go through. We look too often at the wind and the waves, and we forget whose they are. They're His, it's His wind and it's His waves. All are His servants. Everything that moves, everything that has its being is a servant of God in one way or another. The devil is even His devil. And He uses him as He will. The Scripture says, "The wrath of man shall praise him, and the rest he'll restrain." Listen to these Scriptures. In Psalm 107, I'll read these to save a little time from turning to all of them. In Psalm 107, in verse 25, "For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof." He commands them to do that. Psalm 148:8, I like this verse. "Fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind fulfilling his word." All the elements, the weather, all of them fulfilling his word. Telling them what to do, and they do it. In Nahum chapter 1, verse 3, "The Lord hath his way in the wind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet." He hath his way in the wind and in the storm. Psalm 107, verse 29. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. And we see that fulfilled in this chapter. And that was written over there in Psalms, Psalm 107. Psalm 104, verse 3. Who walketh upon the wings of the wind? He's not under their threat. He's riding upon them. Now we see in verse 35, "In the same day when the evening was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over to the other side." We find here that his disciples were doing just as he told them to do. They were in the way of duty. They had been with him all day as he taught the people. They were right there with him as he taught the people by the seashore. And he said to them, "Go get into the ship and let's go to the other side." And they did. They were obedient servants. They did. And then this storm comes up. You see, the natural thinking of natural men and natural religious lost men, the natural thinking is they must have done something pretty bad. Somebody must have done something real bad here. I remember one time I lost my job, and a man said to me, he said, "You must not be living right." That's the natural thinking of men. And when something bad happens, I must not have been living right. I must have done something terribly wrong. That's the natural thinking of men. I must have sinned some great sin for these things to happen. That's what Job's friends thought. They said, "Boy, Job, you must have done something terrible for this to happen." Terrible. Well, first of all, God could chasten us all day long for everything I do have sin in. If he's looking for a reason to chasten me, he's got plenty of it. Everything I do has sin in it. Everything. David said, "Lord, if thou shouldest mark iniquity, who shall stand?" If God were to just this morning, if God were to just mark iniquity this morning on us, not one person in here would stand. Not one. You see, it's Christ who makes us accepted, not the good that I do. It's Christ that makes me accepted. Then secondly, we live in a world that's against us. I realize this now. I live in a world that hates me. I live in a world that hates my God. I live in a world that hates my Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior. They hate Him. We live in a world that's against us. All principalities and powers of darkness is set against us. You think about that. This whole world is set against you. All of it. But the Scripture says, if God be for us, who can be against us? And knowing this ought to quiet our fears. Knowing this ought to quiet our fears in the storms. But not only were they in the way of duty, they were obeying His will. He said, "Get in the boat and we'll go to the other side." They did. They were obeying His will. You know that most of our afflictions come when we are in the way, when we are doing the will of God. That's when most of your afflictions will come, when you're doing the will of God. All you got to do is look at history. Look at Abraham. His greatest trials came when he was doing the will of God. Look at David. Look at Moses. Look at the disciples. Look at our Lord. No one was more obedient. No one. Christ gave perfect obedience. And yet he suffered more doing the will of God than anyone ever has. Most of our suffering, most of our afflictions comes while we're doing the will of God. It comes in the way of duty most of the time. And then he was with them. They were in the way of duty. They were doing his will, and he was with them. He was with them. You think, "Well, if God was here, this wouldn't happen." Oh, yes, it will. It will. They didn't go off on their own. The Lord's with them. The Lord is with them. It would have done them well to remember this. It would have done them well to have remembered Isaiah 43, "When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And it'll not overflow you." It'll do us well to remember that, because He's always with us. He was in the boat with them. I asked myself this question when I was studying this. How would I act right now if I knew for certain that the Lord was at my side? Then act that way, because He is. He said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." He never leaves His children. He never leaves their side. He's always with them. He said, "I'll never leave you." No, not ever, not ever, not ever leave you nor forsake you. Then in verse 37, we come up to the storm. "And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full." The wind, I read, a couple of the writers said it was of hurricane force. It was not a windy day. This was of hurricane force. No one could survive this storm without divine help. No one's going to survive this without divine help. And you know, we could not survive a trial without God's help. We couldn't do it. Not even the least trial. We couldn't survive it without His help. And they can't survive this storm without His help. This storm was far out of their control. They could not stop the fury of the wind and the waves. You ever see, you know when you watch the news, or if you've ever even experienced it, how helpless man is against the floods and rain and the storms? You can't do anything. You can't hold it back. Totally helpless. And that's why they were helpless. They were totally helpless. The storm swept away every hope of surviving they had, except one. And that's where God brings us. He will. I assure you, and God saves you. God, when He saves a man, He sweeps away every hope that man has of surviving, except one. And that's Christ. That's Christ. They couldn't jump out. They could not jump out of the boat and run for refuge. See, here's what's going to happen. God is going to make them find a man to be a refuge from the wind and a covert from the tempest. That's over there in Isaiah. He said a man shall be, he's over in Isaiah, it says a man's going to be a refuge from the wind and a covert from the tempest. And that's what God's going to do right here. He's going to make them to find this man to be their refuge. He's going to make them find that. And you see, the sooner we find this out, the better we'll act in times of trouble. When we find this out, where our real refuge is, where our real help and hope is. Everyone whom God saves is going to find their hope, their rest, and their peace in Christ alone. For time and eternity. Not just for eternity. My hope and peace and rest in Christ is not just for eternity, it's also for right now. I'm not going to get through this thing on my own. It's for time and eternity. And note here it says that the waves beat into the ships so that it was now full. Well, now, get a hold of this. Every affliction, every trial has its measure. And God knows where the full mark is. He knows where the full mark is. They said that ship is now full. It was filling up. It was filling up with water. Well, He knows where that full mark is. He knows. He has promised not to lay upon us more than we can bear. God promised not to do that. It says in the Scripture, it's good for a young man to bear the yoke in his youth, the yoke of discipline. Job said this, and this is out of the Amplified Version. He delivers the afflicted by their affliction and opens their ears to His voice by adversity. He's going to teach them something out of this storm. And every trial, everything God sends our way, He's going to teach us something. He's not trying to teach you something. He's going to teach you something. And you're going to learn something from it. Now, verse 38, I want you to note the quietness of our Lord. He's back. He's in the back of the boat asleep. He's not in the back of the boat wringing His hands. He's not in the back of the boat on His knees praying. He's in the back of the boat asleep. Asleep. He's in the captain's seat. That's where He's at. Now we know as God, He never sleeps nor slumbers. Who keeps Israel? That's what He says over in Psalm 121. He never sleeps nor slumbers. Who keeps it? The one that keeps Israel, which is God. The storm is under His control. It looks like it's out of control, doesn't it? I guess there's nothing to look more out of control than that storm, but that storm's actually under absolute control. It's under control. In fact, He's riding on the wings of the wind. But we see here the man Christ Jesus asleep. Asleep. Why is He asleep? I'll tell you why He's asleep. He's asleep for the same reason I go to sleep. Tired. He was tired. He'd been on that shore all day with those people preaching, and it wore him out. He got into the boat and he went to sleep. He's tired. In other words, he's a human. He's a real man. He is a real man who gets tired just like I do. He gets hungry just like I do. He hurt just like I do. He's a real man. This is the incarnate God. And then secondly, he was asleep because he was in no danger. Now think about that. Really think about that. He believed God. He believed God and he believed he was in no danger. Are we really ever in danger? Does he not give his angels charge over you to keep you? And our Lord laid down there to rest because he knew he was in no danger. Me and I think Ron Traban was talking the other day. There's never a reason for me to be upset and wondering why God let this happen or why God's doing it. There's never a reason for me to be upset or to be fearful. I cannot give you a reason, a justified reason for me to ever be fearful. Although I know it's my makeup and I know that as a man that I'm going to be. I can't justify it because God has pledged his protection of us. He said he'd give his angels charge over us. And then thirdly, he's giving us an example here. He's back in the boat asleep. He's giving us an example how we ought to rest in all things. We ought to rest in all things. If I cannot find my rest in Christ concerning these things, if I cannot find my rest concerning these things that come along in my life, how can I find rest in him concerning the weightier matters of life such as judgment and eternity? If I cannot trust him to handle the wind and the rain, how am I going to trust him to handle the wrath of Almighty God? And if he can handle that, he can handle a little rainstorm out here. He can do that. One writer said this. I like this. He said, let's say they had sunk to the bottom. Could they not have better company? If you go down, if you go to the bottom, can you not have better company than the Son of God being there with you? He'd have went right down with them. But that's not going to happen. We know that no soul that's ever trusted Christ should perish. And they awoke him. Here's the question. They awoke him and said, carest thou not that we perish? Oh, here they are asking God Almighty. Carest thou not that we perish? I can say this. God will show mercy when no one else can. And when you have bailed out all the water, when you have bailed out all the water you can, and it just keeps getting worse, then he'll deliver. That's when he'll deliver. When he receives all the glory for the deliverance. When he receives it all. Because you see, and when they came to him, they quit bailing out the water. They knew that it was useless. They threw the buckets down, and they just turned to him and said, don't you care that we perish? Then he arose. Verse 9, then he arose, and when he rises, all else must subside. The King of Kings is rising up. And he rebuked the wind and the sea, and they stopped. They hushed. And just a dead calm. Right when he told them to. Well, the scripture says this, where the word of a king is, there's power. When the King of Glory rises up and says, be still, no man can disturb him. When he gives you peace in your heart and rest in him, nobody can disturb that. When he commands it, nobody can disturb it. At his command, all that was against them is now for them. All that was against them was now for them. Just at his command. The same voice that commanded their beginning commanded them to be quiet. You see, I know that's all that's needed is the Lord just to command it, to speak it. And all's well. All will be well. He makes everything to serve our good and his glory. If we could see how all our heartaches and all our tears are working for us a far more exceeding weight of glory, we would count the furnace as great a blessing as the gold that comes out of it. We would count the furnace as much as precious as the gold that you take out of the furnace. He spoke, and they obeyed. I wish I could do that. I wish I was. I'll tell you this, don't let the elements outdo us. He spoke and they just calmed right down. And that's the way I want to be. I just want to calm right down. Knowing He's God of the storm. He's the Lord over it. And then He asked the question, why are you so fearful? Can you come up with a good reason? Can you come up with a justified reason why you are so fearful? They couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. Why are you so fearful? How is it you had no faith? Have I ever failed you? Has God ever failed us? Not once. He said, you can't come up with a good reason why you have such fear. You can't do it. What do we have to be afraid of? If God be for us, who can be against us? What do we have to be afraid of? If Emmanuel is in the boat, if Emmanuel is in the boat, then we have nothing to fear. And why is our faith, he said, why is your faith so weak? Why is your faith so weak? Why do you have no faith? Well, first of all, they're too concerned with the storm. Their attention just totally got onto the storm and off of him. They were so concerned with the storm. And second of all, they didn't want to lose anything. Well, that's what the storm is for. I can tell you, that's what trials are for. It's not only to reveal faith, but you're going to lose some things. You're going to lose some dross. When God sends trials, He sends them to take away some things. Take away those things that we don't need to hinder us from our relationship to Him. We don't want to lose anything. Well, that's what it's for, is to drive away the chaff. Too afraid of dying. They were afraid, fearful of dying. I tell you, we need to hold on to these things loosely, but we're going to leave them. We're going to leave them. Hold on to them loosely. A man will never be a good soldier until he's willing to die for what he believes in. Until he's willing to die for it. That is too afraid to die. Our Lord said, except you lose your life. Those who try to keep their life, He said, shall lose it. Those who lose their life shall gain it. This is the only business I know where loss is gain. It's the only business where loss ends up being a gain. And then they were so fearful because they were immature in the faith. I tell you, we need to be in the Word of God. We need to be where the gospel is preached that we might grow in faith and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that'll help calm these fears. That'll help calm these fears. And they were filled, it says here in verse 41, after He had calmed, He told the wind and the sea to be still. It says they were filled with fear. Well, now they feared the right thing. Now they had the right, they feared the right thing, the right one, not thing, they feared the right one now. You see, the Scripture says, with the Lord there's mercy that He may be feared. That He may be feared. And they had an awe-inspiring fear of Him, reverence of Him. Who is this man that even the wind and the sea obey Him? He's the God-man. He's God manifested in the flesh. That's who this man is. This is not an ordinary man. This is God Almighty in the flesh. He's more than a man. They had seen Him perform miracles on others, and now they experienced their own weakness and need of Him. See, they walked around with Him. He'd heal this one. He'd heal that one. He'd feed a multitude. And now they have experienced their weakness and need of Him. They've experienced it. Before we can truly preach Christ, before we can truly preach the Lord Jesus Christ to others, we must first be convinced of our need of Him and His ability to save us before we could ever preach to others. And that's what He's convincing them of here. That's what He's teaching them here. See, they're going to find out their real need of Him and who He is, who He really is, before they can ever go out and become apostles and preach to the churches. Now to answer the question, I'll wind this up. I'm going to answer this question. Carest thou not that we perish? Carest thou not that we perish? Does God care if I perish? Does He not see my troubles? Does He not see my troubles? Well, you know, the Lord said, not a hair of your head will perish. He said, not a hair of your head will perish. Now, let's look at this. Does God care if I perish? Well, before God made the heavens and the earth, before God made all of this, before He made the heavens and the earth, He made a covenant. God made a covenant with His Son concerning you, you who believe the gospel, and everyone whom He loves. As David said, His thoughts to us cannot be reckoned up in order. God's thoughts toward us can't even be reckoned up in order. And in that covenant, Christ became the mediator between you and God so that you would not perish. He was made the surety. He's responsible to bring you home debt-free. It became Him in bringing many sons to glory. So He became responsible to bring you home, me home, with no debts. Debt-free. He became responsible for that. He was made the high priest to offer up Himself as a sacrifice for sin. On our behalf, He was made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. He was made those things to us. He's our prophet. He was made to be our prophet, the teachers of God, our priest, our king. He's the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. You see, God's the God of order. God set all this in order before He ever created the heavens and the earth. But after this, after God established this order, then He created the heavens and the earth. He made Adam. Adam failed. He gave the pictures and types that spoke of the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, that spoke of the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave His written word to us. He sent prophets that would preach of Christ and foretell His coming. Then, in the fullness of time, He came. He said, in the volume of the book it's written of me, I've come to do Thy will, O God. He came just as God said He would. He came. He came bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. He was born of a woman, made under the law to redeem you from its curse, to take you away from that curse. God, Christ did this. He kept that law perfectly. In doing so, He worked out a righteousness for us. He worked out a righteousness for us and made us righteous. He not only produced a righteousness for us, but we are made righteous in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are made righteous in Him. He suffered the penalty of that law that was against us, took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. He took it out of the way. He went to the cross as our substitute. Died in our place, rose again, ascended on high, seated at God's right hand, making intercession for you. Making intercession for you. And then He sent the Holy Spirit. He sent the Holy Spirit into your hearts, regenerated you, and that's why you and I are inspired to cry, Abba Father. That's why we call Him our Father, because the Holy Spirit has given you a new birth. Given you a new life. He's given you faith. He's given you repentance. He's given you life in Christ. And you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You're sealed with Him. The Holy Spirit of promise. He's made you an heir of all things. He's made you an heir of all things. He has given His angels charge over you. And do you think that they would dare break that charge? You think they would dare disobey that charge? He's given his angels charge to take care of you, to let nothing happen to you. That he has a purpose and appointed. And he's coming again. He says, I'll see you again. He's coming again to take you to that place that he's prepared for you. Now I ask, what more can he do than for you he hath done? What more? Yes. Yes, he cares if I perish. I say this, perish the thought. Perish the thought. Carest thou not that we perish? Yes. Look what he's done. He prepared all that before he ever created the heavens and the earth. Sent his son to do all that. I tell you this, not one of his sheep, not one of them shall perish. Not one of them shall perish. John, you have a closing song?
Solid rock I stand, how firm a foundation. Let's try how firm a foundation. 268, Saul stands. Let's try a couple of verses of this, first and the last. I like you.